Recently, Stephanie and I, we were sound asleep in our bedroom, and when we sleep, we like to sleep when it's really dark inside. Like, she has two sets of curtains. It's so dark that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. How many of you like to sleep with it, like, completely blacked out? All right, so that's the setting. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up to my wife screaming and her arms and legs just kicking everywhere, and then I see a light at the end of our bed, and there's a figure that was taller than the only other person that was supposed to be in our home. That would be my son. It was definitely not Bryce. And so Stephanie had screamed. She panicked because this figure grabbed her foot. Freaked out. And the light began to come upon this figure's face, and the figure's face was my second daughter, Emma, who was supposed to be in her college dorm room near Dallas, but decided to come home early to surprise us. No bueno! No bueno! Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. From our family and all of our incredible church leadership team, we want you to know how much we love you, and we're so grateful to spend this Christmas time together with all of you. I'm excited that you're here as we start a brand new Christmas series called Here Comes Heaven. Here Comes Heaven. And the interesting thing about the Christmas story is that the angels appeared three different times, right? And each time they appeared, the first thing they said was what? Help me out. Fear not, or do not be afraid. They appeared first to Joseph, or Mary, and then Joseph. And today we're going to talk about what happened when these angels appeared to the shepherds. When the angels appeared to the shepherds. And my prayer, my hope is that God's peace will, that you will sense it in a very real way. No matter what you're facing in life today, no matter what you're afraid or worrying about or anxious about, that the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. But there's one fear I want to talk about and really focus on. It's a fear that many people have in our world today, and that fear is, where do I stand with God? Am I in good standing with God? Am I right with God? Some of you, you've put your faith and your trust in the Lord. And you know that there was a time in your life where, if you were honest, you were like uncertain. Like, what's going to happen after my life here on earth in eternity? Where do I stand with God? You had that moment, like most of us have had that moment. A lot of people believe, hey, as long as I'm a good person, as long as I do my best and I do some good works, and then I'm going to be okay and I'll be in heaven someday and I'll be all right. Now, the problem with that is that's just not how it works. That's actually contrary to what the Word of God teaches us. We're going to discover that together. But let's focus Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were what? They were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" Another translation says, "Do not be afraid. I will bring you" what? The angel said, "I will bring you good news." Our word gospel literally means good news. Verse 10, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David," what is the good news? "Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Today, I bring you good news. Fear not, a Savior has been born to you." So these angels are bringing the good news. They're saying a Savior is coming. Like, it's been dark for a long time, and the world is a pretty sinful place, and you've tried your best, but you made a mess of things. So God's sending his son. These angels are saying, God's sending his very best. He's coming in the flesh. He's sending his son, Jesus. He's like, here comes heaven, y'all. Y'all better get ready because it's going to be better than anything you've ever heard about, as I've ever seen. Jesus is coming. Like, this is the best news ever. And so what's interesting about this story is that, like, in the first century, in the early first century, if a family had the financial means, they would hire a herald to announce that their child is being born. Remember, they didn't have like text messaging or phones or ways to communicate easily like we do. And so they would send a herald out and saying, hey, our baby is born, especially if there was a if the baby was a son, because that they felt like the Jews felt like that this is God's blessing. The family name can continue on. The family name is a big deal. And so God is like sending his angels as heralds to share the good news. What's also interesting about the story is who God shares the good news with. It's the angels. Now, you may not think that that's important or unique because, like maybe for some of you, the shepherds are like your favorite figures in the nativity scene in your house, right? You're like, I love my shepherds. But in that day, it was like, you got to think, why out of everybody did God reveal to the shepherds? Like, wouldn't he have, man, thought of someone more important, like maybe a priest or a king or someone who can be trusted, right? Like a doctor or someone who is a judge. Like you would think somebody else than a shepherd, because in the first century, again, shepherds were pretty low. Like and as far as this in society, they were at one of the very lowest. They were down there with the slaves. They didn't have a lot of credibility. They were outcasts of societies a lot of time because of their lifestyle. And so they felt distant. They felt distant from people. They felt distant from God because religious leaders taught that, hey, you've got to obey these 613 laws. You've got to go to church. You've got to obey the Sabbath. But these shepherds couldn't do it. So they felt very distant from God. They didn't have a lot of peace in their minds. And so there's really three things that these shepherds would have felt. And if you're keeping notes, I want you to write down. First, they would have felt very unworthy. They would have felt very unworthy. Now, why would they have felt unworthy? Again, they were outcasts in society. They were always gone. A few years ago, I got to spend time with a shepherd in the Middle East, a Bedouin. They're nomads, and so it's a hard life, and they'll take their flocks, and they will travel, and they will be away from their family for weeks at a time. It's like today, if you were like a trucker, and you were gone on the road for 10 days, and so there weren't places that you could make yourself clean. You're around dirty sheep. You're around, it's a hard life. You're outside a lot. You couldn't go to church. In fact, because you couldn't obey all the laws, you weren't allowed to come to church. So they would have felt very unworthy. They would have felt, they wouldn't have felt like they fit in. They were physically dirty, spiritually dirty, and maybe you feel a little bit unworthy. You feel a little bit dirty. Right? Like, especially when you come to church right now, you're at church right now, on the way to church, you're thinking about all the things that you've done, how you've come up short, how you've missed the mark, where you lost control with your mouth, where you've done something in secret that no one has seen, and there's some guilt, and that shame has made you feel very unworthy. Some of you are like, man, just say on the way to church, I almost killed my kid. They're mouthing off, fighting, and man, if my arm was just a little bit longer, I would have taken somebody out, right? You would have just, man, and you're like, we're supposed to be in church, supposed to love Jesus, supposed to glorify God, and man, you got so much tension, and there's anger, and you just feel like, I'm unworthy. The Lord sees you, and the gospel has a solution for those who feel unworthy. When you put your trust in the Lord, he makes you feel worthy. He sees the righteousness of God. He clothes you with a robe of righteousness. And that is our hope for those who are unworthy. The second thing that the shepherds would have felt, and they would have felt distant from God or lacking peace in their life, they would have felt very inadequate. Very inadequate, because they were very uneducated. They had a job that really didn't make a lot of money, and they were uneducated in religion. They wouldn't have known the Torah. Like a lot of Jewish boys would have grown up and memorized the first five books of the law, and they would have obeyed all of the traditions, like the Sabbath, but the shepherds weren't. They were gone. They couldn't do that. They had to work all the time. They had to work to take care of the sheep. They couldn't obey the Sabbath. So again, that would have made them unclean. They would have felt very inadequate, just always comparing themselves to other people. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt inadequate? Felt like you didn't measure up, compare yourself to others? Here's kind of a Christmas time, right? Some of you ladies, you go into another home and someone in your small group, and things just look perfect, right? All the stuff is set up, there's no dust, and everything's just right, and you go into your house, and there's laundry, and there's smells, and there's like everything's everywhere, and you feel bad. If I could be honest, I want to confess, I feel a little bit inadequate here at Christmas. First time in 24 years that I have not put up the lights on the outside of the house. It's my responsibility, right? So I didn't even put up the wreath. Like, I've done that, like, every, she does the inside, I do the outside. Now, I would say that an excuse of mine would be I'm a little burned out on Christmas because she put the tree up in October. It's true. And she, like, listens to music, the Hallmark Channel's always on. It's like, but that's really not the reason. I'm just a little tired. Like, I'm just like, I just don't feel like doing it. And it may make things worse. On my street lives a man that for 4 days it took him to put all the lights. Like, on the way to church this morning, I stopped in front of his house. And I just looked. And I counted all of these, like, 15-foot-high inflatables. 5 of them. He had the entire snowman family on his front lawn. Do you know how hard it is to live on the same street as Clark Griswold? That's my life. And so I'm like, I know my daughter got home from college last night, and I got my son. And I'm like, it's just terrible. It's like, man, like, does Dad not even like Christmas? It's like, I suck as being a dad. I just like Chris. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm just being honest with you. I feel inadequate. But some of you feel that way as well. And maybe you compare yourself spiritually to other people, right? Again, you might be in a small group, or you come and you see how people are so passionate in worship. Or they always have the right answer. Or they know the verses. And then they just pray. And you just don't feel like you have that connection. And you just feel inadequate spiritually. That's what these shepherds would have felt like. They would have definitely felt inadequate. And you feel like, you know, I can relate. I can empathize a lot with feeling inadequate. Like, I don't have enough. Again, the Lord would say from the Word of God that He's got the depth of His riches are available to you. That everything that you would need and desire, that the Lord would make it available through His Son, Jesus. That you don't have to feel inadequate. That He makes up the difference. That His grace is enough. His peace is enough. Isn't that good news? And then third, these shepherds would have felt not just unworthy or inadequate, they would have felt very unloved. Like, to touch a shepherd would have made yourself unclean, and you wouldn't have been able to go to church, or you would have been in right standing with God. And not only that, like, shepherds had a bad reputation. Many of them were thieves. And as a result, they weren't even allowed to testify in court because they had no credibility. Like, a father of a daughter would never want to bless his daughter to marry a shepherd. Like, that's what shepherds would have felt like, very unloved. And you may feel that way. You may feel just very unloved. Christmas time is hard for you because you think back maybe some of the earlier memories you had as a child when everyone was around, but maybe your dad left. And you felt unloved by your dad. Maybe it was your fault. Or maybe the covenant that you made with your spouse, and your spouse has left you and has moved on. And you've said, man, it's my fault. I'm not loved. And I've tried to do everything on my end. Or maybe you look in the mirror and you don't like the person who you see. You don't love yourself. And you're struggling with decisions that you have made. And there's guilt and there's shame that the enemy and yourself have put on yourself. Or maybe you're just in a place of chaos right now and there's no peace. And you're struggling, like, why don't I have more trust in the Lord? And it's just the storms of life have just gripped your life, and you're struggling today, and you don't feel loved. You don't feel wanted. Word of God says, to those who receive the Lord, He gives the right to be children of God. For God so loved you that He gave His Son, Jesus. Heaven comes near through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. So we look at all of these things in our lives where we don't measure up, or we feel unworthy, don't feel loved, or we're afraid. Again, the fear that I want us to focus on right now is the fear of where do we stand from God, stand in relationship with God. Is your relationship with God not reconciled? In other words, is there a gap? Is there a distance? You don't feel personal. There's not that relationship with God. You're unsure of your relationship with the Lord. One of my chief concerns as a pastor is that that we have not communicated clearly what the gospel means and what it means to be right with God. Because I would hate for any of you to stand before the Lord one day. The Lord said, what did you do with my son? What did you do with the gospel? And you said, I was unsure. I went to this church called Gateway Fellowship, but I was unsure. And so I just want to take a moment and be crystal clear with you on what the gospel is and give you an opportunity at the end of our time together to make sure, because God has done his part, you can do your part to make sure that you are right with God. So turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Paul is the writer. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit. One thing you got to know about Paul is that before he had a relationship with God, before he had an encounter with Jesus, he hated Christians. In fact, he murdered them, had them arrested. He has this relationship. He surrenders his life to the Lord. And now he's writing. These words are for us today. Verse 20 of Romans 3, it says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. This is really good news. You're going to discover why. It says, because the law simply shows us how sinful we are. But what has God done? It says in verse 21, God has now shown us a way to be made right with him. So what does that mean? Verse 20, it says, in verse 21, God has shown us a way to be right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Verse 22, we are made right with God, not by observing or keeping the law or trying to earn our own salvation, but by placing our faith in who? In Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone. It's true for everyone. And as we break this down, the good news, again, you've got to understand the Savior has come to the world. Why is that important? Why? What has he saved us from? Verse 1, you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You can't do it through works, can't do it through living a good life, can't do it by earning. You can't do it on your own. So let that sink in, because even if you know that to be true up here, sometimes we live our lives in a way where we're striving and we're working, and the reason why we're giving and the reason why we're serving, the reason why we're doing is because we're just not sure. We're feeling like we got to bridge the gap, and that is exhausting. It's exhausting. So you can't do it on your own. And this would have been such good news for the shepherds, because they couldn't do it. There were 613 laws, even though Jesus said, hey, I'm going to distill it to two. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's real simple. These shepherds, I mean, they would have just been exhausted trying to feel like they had to do it. So the word of God says, for no one can ever be made right with God. By what? By doing what the law commands. So what's the law even there for? Number two, as we break this down for the good news, the purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. Show you your need for a Savior. Verse 20 again, it says, the law simply shows us how sinful we are. So what is the law? Well, we know the law, right? The commandments. Do not lie. Do not kill, do not steal. Like if we really loved our neighbor, if we really loved God, we would never take his name in vain. We wouldn't steal from someone we love. That's why Jesus said it's about love. But if you've ever lied, if you've ever stolen, if you've ever committed adultery, you've sinned, right? None of us can say, hey, I'm a good person. Honestly, before Christ, we can't say that. Jesus even said that if you've looked at someone with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery in your heart. So we've all sinned. Every single one of us are on the naughty list, all right? We've all come short. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why this is so important. If you don't see yourself as a sinner, you'll never see a need for a Savior. If you don't see yourself as a sinner who's come up short, you'll never see a need for a Savior. And this is where we're saved. We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from sin. We're saved from the eternal punishment that we deserve, that God sent his son Jesus to substitute on our behalf for. And that's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. And so how can we be saved? How can we be made right with God? Number three, the good news teaches us this, that righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ alone, not through your own efforts, but only through a complete trust and belief in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God. He's alive forevermore. Verse 22, we are made right with God by how? By doing. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. What Jesus did on the cross is enough. Why don't you say that? Jesus is enough. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? That what he did on the cross and laying down his life, and not only just dying, but he came back to life, that our relationship can be reconciled, that we can have peace with God because what God did on the cross, that's how we're made right with God. When he's done his part and we put our faith in him and we confess of our sin, we repent of our sin, turn from our sin, we follow after him all the days of our life.